All righty. Let's go to the book of Genesis like we have been doing. Genesis 41. Now, this is an amazing passage of Scripture, and it has great application to every life of a professing saved person, of a child of God. And from the youngest to the eldest, this is one of God's greatest truths. And the younger you learn it, the more powerful it is. Let's read the first few verses, and then we'll just try to get into something good here this morning. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. And what is about to happen is that Pharaoh is about to have a dream, and it is a head-busting dream. I mean, it's one of those ones he can't shake off. And God sent the dream, and we'll talk about that. Up to this time in Joseph's life, from the time he was 17 till now, we find in this chapter that he is 30 years old. And so it's been about 13 years of his life. The 2 full years was the 2 full years from the time he interpreted the baker and butler's dream, and that's how long the butler forgot him. When Joseph had been sold into slavery, he'd served in the household, Potiphar, he'd been lied about, thrown into prison, into the dungeon. After 11 years of all that, God puts a butler and a baker, as we talked about last week, into his life by them displeasing Pharaoh, and they end up in jail. And he is there serving them. He's bringing their meals, he's serving them. And they both have a dream, and he interprets it. And the baker had a dream that wasn't all that good because he was about to lose his head, and he did. And the butler had a dream, and Joseph interpreted it with the power of God, and he got restored. And Joseph believed in God's interpretation so much that he gave the sad news to the baker, and then he turned to the butler. And he said, "Remember me." He knew it wasn't going to do any good for the baker to remember him. Okay, that's how much Joseph knew God had told him. You get this? He didn't even. It was like sad news, baker. Butler, listen, man. If you were the baker, wouldn't that shake you down to your feet? This guy really believes what he just said. I'm fixing to get killed and have the birds eat off the top of my head. But to the butler, he said, "Remember me." And so the butler got restored, and it. 2 full years later, this butler has forgotten. Because in verse 9 of this passage, he said, "Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day." He had forgotten about Joseph for 2 full years. But I want to direct your attention to verse 1 of our passage, because it says, "And it came to pass." And it came to pass. And our subject this morning is God's timing. God's timing. We would call it providence. The word providence, if you'll look it up in English, is to go before. It comes from the word provide. It's providence is what it is, if you looked at it on a piece of paper. And so providence is when God goes ahead of you and does something you can't do. And only God can do that. It is not predestination. And we'll look at that in here. But it is providence. It's timing. Here's a man named Joseph with a gift. He knows that each time he interprets, he has to get it from God. But he has that gift. Now watch. The gift never came from within him.
Right.
So James says, "The wisdom from which is above, it descendeth." It comes down into you. Listen, because you were wise yesterday doesn't mean you'll be wise tomorrow. It is not in you. And if you're not careful, especially the culture we live in the United States of America, we're always looking inward for everything.
Yeah.
We're always looking inside the person, inside the person, inside the person. And God said, no, godly wisdom does this. It comes down just like a conduit and goes out of you. It comes down and goes out. And the day you're not receiving it from him, only thing going to come out of you is your wisdom.
Yeah.
Okay? And so a person could know how to make money but not be wise. Godly wise. And at the same time, if we're not careful, because of the culture we live in, you know, this whole culture of money and prosperity you know, and all those sort of things, you know, capitalism and stuff. If we're not careful, we think the smartest guy is the guy who can make the most money with the least effort.
Yeah.
And that's not what the Bible teaches. So if you got a problem with that, take it up with God, not me. We don't need to argue about nothing. Or we do not need to have a disputation about anything, okay? Say it any way you want. My point is this. If we look at this, it says, and it came to pass. Now, someone has said the calling by God is constituted of a need, ability, and opportunity, the three together. There's a need. God creates a need here. He had given Joseph the ability to hear from him, and now the need and the ability are going to come together in an opportunity.
Yeah.
And so that's not a bad thing. It's a culmination. It's coinciding events. I've said to you recently that coincidence is not random stuff. Coincidence is when two things coincide. They happen at the same time. So we believe in coinciding events. The difference is we don't believe in the randomness of it. We know that God sees the whole thing.
Yeah, true.
And you see, if we're not careful, we forget that. And it came to pass. And with the Lord, it always comes to pass.
Mm-hmm.
It's just been 13 years. And Joseph didn't have any idea. Joseph may have been occasionally like the guy who said, I thought I saw a light at the end of the tunnel, and I found out it was an oncoming train, okay? You know, one of those things. And the idea is this, folks. The idea is that God will make it come to pass what his plan is. Let's take Joseph as a 17-year-old, favorite of his father. He had everything ahead of him. So he probably had in his mind how life was going to be. He even had these two dreams from God that he was going to rule and he was going to take care of his family because his brothers were going to bow and his dad and mom even were going to bow. And he wasn't lifted up by it. He just thought, well, God wants to do something with me. What he didn't know was the educational process through which he would go.
Yeah.
It was 13 years of hard labor and reproach and disappointment. And because of that, it was about Joseph being used of God. In Psalm 105, which we looked at several times, it says, until his word came, that's the word out of prison, the word of the Lord did what to him?
Tried
him. Like tried by fire.
Yeah.
Like when you're out there and they're on those, inspecting those welds, and they x-ray them and they try them and everything's tried. Why? Because that happens to be very important. When I flew, you would every time do your pre-flight inspection, just in case.
Yeah.
I remember one time we pulled the little Cessna out of the shop with my teacher, and we went around there, and a bird had made a little nest right there in that little tube.
Man.
Right where we needed the air to flow, he had decided to build part of his nest. I was really glad my instructor was thorough. And the point of it is God doesn't miss anything. It came to pass. Brother Danny Farley said one time, I heard him preaching, he said, isn't it amazing how we get so distressed by a deadline and God will let the deadline pass and the world doesn't fall apart?
Yeah.
You know, that's a great lesson for a child of God. The deadline can pass and the bottom doesn't fall out of my life. And if we're not careful, we create deadlines. Young people, listen, if you're not careful, you'll have it in your head, well, if this hasn't happened for me by this age, and it happened for somebody else, and it happened for that, man, that would have driven Joseph crazy. But Joseph is just staying with God, and he's following God. You see, we don't merely do life. We do life under God. There's a difference. I'm not just doing life. So about 95 or 99% of the world's sayings and mottos are not for me.
Amen.
See, it's not that I'm against them. It's they're not for me because I'm not doing life. I'm doing life under God. And there's a big difference.
Amen.
All the years I was lost growing up on the racetrack and all that stuff and the construction and everything, I was doing life without God. I was just doing life. And so there were sayings and mottos that help, you know, when the going gets tough, the tough get going.
Man.
But for a child of God, when the going gets tough, we get on our knees.
Yeah.
we humble our neck.
Right.
When I'm weak, he is strong. See the difference? That isn't how I grew up. How I grew up was, it's a long ways from your heart, get up. If it's not a mortal wound, shake it off. I've been thrown and stomped and bitten and drug and run over. I mean, I got run over a couple times. Just somebody thought it was a fun thing to turn the horse loose and let them run over you. Just thought it was a joke. I think they'd watched too many cowboy movies or something.
Man.
And the idea is this. We don't, all those mottos don't work. But boy, there's some scripture that really works. This thing, and it came to pass. Timing. Think about timing here for a minute. In baking, isn't timing everything? There's a guy that's got a famous pizza place on the East Coast over there, New Jersey or somewhere, and they asked him, what's the difference between a good pizza and a great pizza? He said about 40 seconds at the right temperature. You think, fellas, about driving a nail. Timing is everything.
Yeah.
I remember when I first started carpentry, I was thankful that I worked under some old-timer, and he could drive with a 16-ounce nail easily what someone else would have to have a 22 or a 28-ounce hammer to do. It was all about timing and not killing yourself. If you've ever watched sports, when that guy swings and hits that ball of any kind or he kicks that ball, it's all about timing. And when the timing's off, it's really ugly, isn't it? I don't know if you've ever swung a sledgehammer before, but when your timing's off, it's dangerous. Especially if you're the one holding the fence post and the other person's timing's off. Or you go to hit something. Timing's everything. Timing. In driving a car, in hitting something. Do you know timing's everything in communication? You know, years and years ago, before all the stuff we have now, I always carried a thing of postcards in my bag with me. And I had to travel a lot and preach, do stuff, and I would frequently reach in there and write a postcard to somebody and put their name on it and their address and drop it in the mailbox wherever I was at. Years later, sometimes I'd find out, man, the day that got there, it was such a help.
Yeah.
In fact, the book of Proverbs says something to that effect for us. The book of Proverbs, if you want to make a note of it, says in the book of Proverbs chapter 15, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, ready, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? How good is it at the right time? I mean, one of the great things about communication today is we can communicate. I mean, sometimes when somebody's on your heart, that's a good time to send them a note or a text or whatever. I know the average person doesn't do handwritten communication as much. But I've known people to keep, I met a fellow one time, a young fellow. And I'd written him a note, and about 7 or 8 years later, I ran into him, and in the front of his Bible, under a paperclip, he still had that handwritten note. And it happened at a hard time when he'd lost one of his parents. And I'd lost my mother when she was only 54 years old, and I was only 31 years old. And I knew what it felt like. And I would say to you that timing is everything. Timing is. Do you know what it says? Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall what? Reap if we faint not. Timing's about everything. Well, watch. Timing is all about eternity. It's not about now.
Mm-hmm.
Are you getting this? You've heard preachers say, he'd say to Andrew, look, at the end of the day, you're going home to your family. Just persevere here for a few hours. Timing. I'm going home one day. Then I get my rewards. I don't need them here. Because if I get them, wait for them there, I get them forever. If I get them here, I'll just use them. I'll just waste them and they're gone. Amen. And I want to talk about this passage a little bit with this idea because I feel like it's a very strong passage. My first point is this, by observation, is the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. That reference is Proverbs chapter 21. Now, maybe you've never been where you really needed somebody in a place of authority to act. I have. If you want the reference, it's Proverbs 21:1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, as the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Now someone says, well, you see, there you go. He takes control of the person's will and all that. You know, I don't know why people are so set on denying 85% of the scripture instead of just looking at the 85% and getting the answer. Here's how it works. Let me give you a verse. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. Now, If it doesn't come from the east, west, or south, where must it come from? What's the only thing left? The north. Heaven. God decides. Ready? The next verse says, but God is a judge. He putteth down one, setteth up another. Now watch. This is simple. You say, why is the king's heart in the hand of the Lord? Doesn't say the king's will, friend. It says his heart. Because if God promotes somebody, God reserves the right to influence them. Since he has given them the power over others. You say, well, why does he let things suffer and go on? Because he's going to be righteous. Let me say something to you. If we were God and we saw it going bad, we would grab it and take control of it and not give people their free will.
Right.
You better get hold of this.
Yeah.
The righteousness of God is revealed in you having a will. The righteousness of God is revealed in you making choices. Because what God says is, even, ready, he made Adam. He made Eve. Could he not have tweaked them with no will? Absolutely. He could have made them have no will. But instead he said, I want a creature that I can love and they can love back. Listen, if you make somebody love you, that isn't love. There's no love in it. If you make somebody obey like a machine does, there's no relationship there. But then what he did was he said to Adam, he said, look, here's the deal. The Bible says God knew, he knew what Adam would do. And here's how much God loved mankind. He made him anyway, knowing it was going to, ready? Cost him himself. And as the hymn says, if that isn't love, right? The ocean is dry. If that isn't love. You get this? God is so righteous that he'll give you choice so you can love him. And then when you break it, he'll pay the price so you can come back to him. There is no love that can come close to that in all of the universe. In all, if you could go out beyond outer space, you'll never find anything like the love of God. So the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as a river of water. Now watch. You and I, if we made a river, we would do what? We would make an aqueduct, wouldn't we? But God doesn't, does he? He makes a river. And you know what the river does? As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. So you know what God did to Pharaoh, for example, when he said, I'll harden Pharaoh's heart? He put stuff in Pharaoh's life. Pharaoh could have gotten right. Listen, Pharaoh could have looked at that and said, man, this is a bigger deal than me. Y'all get out of here. Right? He could have given him an escort out of town and saved the whole kingdom a lot of trouble. So that river went up against a big old hard rock and it went this way. Remember what Yogi Bear said? When you come to a fork in the road, take it. I'll get that in a minute. In other words, you're going to go one way or another when you hit that hard rock.
Man.
And so God says, I'll put this. So you know what he does to Pharaoh here? He gives him a dream. Pharaoh does what any normal, natural person would do. He got up in the morning and he went to his horoscope. And that didn't work.
Yeah.
Then he went down to the Chinese buffet and he said, I'll take a dozen of those cookies. And he opened all them up and nothing worked. Are you getting this? He called in his guys here. And look, he had these dreams and he calls in everybody. And when he called them in, verse 8, it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. He sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. I heard a well-known preacher get up and say, I was sitting there when he said, I could not. He goes, you know, the marvel isn't that Joseph interpreted the dream. The marvel is that nobody else did. I was like, man, what did you eat for breakfast?
Yeah.
Or snort? Or smoke? Anybody knows what the dream is looking backwards. Come on. That's why there's so much scripture, folks, that if you get obsessed with trying to figure it out now, you're going to be all over the map till Jesus comes. Because all prophecy is discovered looking backwards. Even the Lord Jesus' disciples who walked with him 3.5 years and they went to his university with him personally,
sure,
didn't get it till Jesus said, thou shalt not know until when? Afterward.
Yeah.
And so Pharaoh has this dream. There is not a hint of predestination in it. You know what it is? He says, I'm going to give you a head-busting dream, and you're going to exhaust your resources. He probably even wrote Dear Abby and all the rest of them that they write today. He probably went on the internet and Googled everything he could about these dreams. And the more he did, the more confused he got. And then the butler walks in. May I say this to you? Don't fight God's timing. I see young people all the time fight God's timing. Impatient, impatient, impatient. And older people, I know you were never that way, but have compassion on them anyway. I'm saying that tongue in cheek, okay? My tongue about to come out of my cheek. If you could think back sometimes how impatient you were, you'd realize, okay, it's not good to be impatient, but I need to have a little compassion on these people.
Right.
You want to see impatience? Just go to the store and stand in line. I am amazed at people. Listen, I had to wait 2.5 years to get my first visa to go down under. When it expired, they said you can only have a 1-year extension. I applied. They took 11 months. They called me. I went and got them. They said, you got 30 days till you got to apply again. And you think waiting in line is going to bug me? We were at the Ukrainian border one time, and we had to wait. We had to wait 2 whole hours. 2 whole hours for them to open the gate. Those guys were about to go out of their mind, those Americans. And I was like, they said, what are you going to do, Gilbert? And I reached in my backpack and pulled out a book. I said, I'm thanking God for this 2 hours. I want to finish this book. This is really good. Watch my knee or somebody. Be careful. Be careful. This society is rah, rah. And if you're not careful, here's why it's so important to be patient, is you'll be impatient with God if you're impatient with life.
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible for it not to cross over. And sometimes people are proud of their impatience, and I don't know who's who here, so only you know, so if there's something happening, it's not me doing it, okay? Take it up with him. Because the second thing I see is the kindred events, the events that are related. Events relating one to another. Pharaoh has this dream, but Joseph has already been through a whole bunch of situations where he had to rely upon God to help him. So here's the amazing thing about these kindred events. Now watch. He gets sold into slavery. He gets put into Potiphar's house. He gets lied about and put into prison. But then there's these two guys that also get put into prison, and they get put into his section. And then while they're in prison, they have a dream. And Joseph walks in, and God gives him the interpretation. Do you see these kindred events, all these things relating? That any event by itself, you'd go, that's just random. But see, God's a master weaver. And he weaves them all together. They're woven into your life. And the child of God misses a lot of them because they're looking at the tree and not the forest. Well, he got lied about. He did. He could have been hung up all his life. I'll just tell you this, that lady lied. Okay, fine. What about the kindred events?
Yeah.
I think about when Abraham wanted a bride for his son. So he sent his elder servant out, and he wanders and wanders and wanders, and he's praying. And he comes to a certain well at an exact time.
Yeah. Amen.
This little girl comes to this well,
yeah.
And they cross paths. And he says, I being in the way, the Lord led me.
Yeah.
Timing. Timing. I have examples written down. Some of them are very personal. I'm just here to tell you, if you live very long with God and you're looking, you're going to see timing.
Yeah.
Now, young person, be careful of this. As a young person, we always want to think that we see the timing that is it. And someone else will say, why don't you be a little more patient and let's watch the timing. And sometimes it doesn't prove to be this great revelation.
Yeah.
It proves to be a sidetrack, okay? Because there is no substitute for time in that sense. The kindred events. And then the knowledge hidden from the world. I read this and I realize that if we would see this, now get this, the worldling. You say, what kind of word is that? That's an old-time Bible word that people use, the worldling. The old-time writers would talk about a worldling. In other words, it's like this. It's an offspring of the world. I was a worldling. You were too. Now, you may have come to Christ at 5, 6, or 7 years old. Okay, fine. But you know what you have in you? I guarantee you have in you this. You have an old nature in you still, because you're not in heaven yet. And you could be 40 or 50 or 60, and that old nature could rise up. It could rise up this afternoon when you leave. It could be rising up right now while the Bible's open. The worldling cannot see what the practicing child of God can clearly see. And sometimes Christians get to thinking that the worldling should see it because they see it. But they can't. I could not see as a lost person, as a worldling, the things that I can see in this book when I open it now as a child of God. I couldn't. It would have been crazy for somebody to try to tell me that I'm refusing to listen to this and that. The one thing that God says everybody's born able to see is creation. You can see it in your Bible that you're born with that light. And the reason it is because that light is the universal light you can use to lead somebody to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I've been in the bush of New Guinea, and the first thing you do is you go in and you start teaching them where they came from. Because you know where they think they came from? They think they came from other animals. With no university education. So the professor in university is teaching on the level of the bushman in New Guinea. You getting this? Yeah, that's how educated he is and smart. They believe that, and they've had no education. They believe they just descended from some of the animals. They have little huts. And there'll be a rock that once was big and jagged, and it's as smooth as can be from them going in and kneeling down and kissing it. And they've worn the rock down. So there's nothing new under the sun when you go off to university, young person. And I'm saying this to say this, the knowledge hidden from the world. And so the child of God, you can open your Bible and you can see things that the world can't see, and don't expect them to see it. And conversely, can I say this? We just consider this. There are people today in what you would call conservative realms and right wing, all that stuff, that are making an incredible amount of money running their mouths, acting as if they're seeing through all that the left side is doing, and none of it is spiritually discerned. It's easy to do. But people revere them like they have insight. Insight is when you can understand this right here. That's insight. An egomaniac can tear apart the left wing, because he does every day on his radio station. Okay? I'm serious. But I'll tell you what, hand him this book and see if he can open it for you.
Yeah, amen.
And that may sound a little harsh, but I'm saying to you, if you're a child of God, what really matters is knowing what God says about something. And I'm saying the other stuff's easy. Knowledge is easy to him that understandeth, Proverbs says. I didn't make that saying up. Knowledge is easy to him that understandeth. If I can understand God, the rest of it's a piece of cake.
Yeah.
And so I would say this. Some who cannot see will receive the benefit of those who can see. Could Pharaoh see what the dream meant?
No.
No. Could the magician see what the dream meant? No. Could the wise men see what the dream meant? No. Are you getting this? Could his own daddy see what the dream meant? Could his brothers see what the dream meant? Did every one of them get the benefit of the dream and the interpretation thereof? Did every one of them get the benefit of the fact that God told Joseph the weather patterns and the agricultural outcome of 14 straight years? Did they not all receive the benefit and they couldn't see past the end of their nose? This is powerful stuff, okay? And even though this might not be like an exciting doctrine, let me say this. That's what God does in a home. He does. It's not because the guy's smart. That's what he does in a church. It's not because the pastor thinks he's the smartest, most brilliant person. But God says, I'm going to have a chain of command. And I'm going to give a thought here and a thought there from me. And the way you prove you love me is just follow. Do you know what God will do? God told us in the Bible for servants to obey their masters, didn't he? Now, if your master, your employer tells you you got to go smoke dope, no, you don't have to do that by the Bible, okay? Righteousness is the extent of the law. But climbing down in a hole and shoveling it out is not unrighteous or abusive, okay? It's just hard labor. Also, it's called hard yakka, hard labor. And I would say to you that the knowledge hidden from the world, and so some in a home, what God does in a church, in life, God reveals things to one, and then we get to prove our love for Him by obeying and following. Pharaoh never actually could get hold that this was going to happen, but he believed that Joseph had the answer. And there was a spiritual witness there, but Pharaoh never saw this coming. And then Joseph told him the solution, what to do for the 7 years and the 7 years. And so he said, well, who else are we going to put in charge of this but the one who can see? What am I saying? Why don't you follow the Lord until what? It comes to pass. It comes to pass. 13 years. That's a long time, ain't it, guys? 13 years. What an awesome thing. What a story we have. I look up to Joseph. I was like, Joseph, how'd you do it? Joseph said, I did it one step at a time. I did it 1 hour at a time. I did it 1 day at a time. I did it 1 week at a time. I did it 1 month at a time. I did it 1 quarter at a time. I did it 1 half year at a time. I did it 1 year at a time. Till I did 13 of them. And the day they called me and said, he wants to see you, he said, I didn't see it coming. He said, because I had to get cleaned up right then. But he walked into Pharaoh's presence and he was ready.
Yeah. Yeah.
That tells me he didn't have to find God when the opportunity came.
Yeah.
Right. He's talking to God. He's walking with God in the darkness. And so I just want to say, fourthly, in this passage, the key to life is in God's hands. He will turn the key at what is best time for His glory and purpose. If I could convince you of something this morning, I would. If I literally could come by and convince you with us men with a hammer in the head, probably, or 2x4, or your ladies with just the way I said it. If I could convince you that the thing that will make you a complete person is to pursue God's purpose and glory in your life, I would never have to apologize for it, ever. If I could convince you to live every waking moment, and it doesn't matter what you do, it doesn't matter if you dig a ditch, doesn't matter if you paint a barn, whatever. If I could convince you that, I know if you're a born-again believer, you will be the most fulfilled person you personally can be in your life. And I can speak that from Scripture. Joseph's life turned around not so Joseph could have a car. He probably had an SUV nowadays. He probably had a chauffeur. And he had the stamp of the king. He had everything. That wasn't the purpose. The purpose was to glorify God and to save a people. Psalm 105. Joseph did not know it meant saving his dad and his brothers that day. Joseph grew up without his mama. His mama died bearing his brother, if you remember correctly. So Joseph didn't have any idea that all this was about to happen. And so I would say this. Would you ask yourself, am I awake to God enough to obey His timing? To just obey His timing. His timing isn't always exciting. I know that. His timing is uncertain sometimes. His timing is out there. I mean, think of all the days that went by. And it came to pass after 2 full years. Don't you think he has totally understood that this guy forgot him by 2 full years? That's a long time to get forgotten, ain't it? You know, people are funny. Let me say this to you. And maybe this will help you a little bit. It's okay to be remembered because somebody reminded the person who needed to remember you. It's okay. And I'm speaking in terms of a lot of guys. A lot of guys have the flat forehead day where you go, I should have remembered today, yesterday, not today. Okay. I told you before, it's like the lady sitting at breakfast. She said, you know, honey, it was about this time last year that you forgot our anniversary. She's kind of sparking his mind just a wee bit, okay? And I'm saying to you, are you awake to God? I don't want to miss God's timing. I don't want to be impatient about it. But I want to say, lastly, the kindness of timely remembrance. Here's what I wrote down, at least this time. The butler remembered him.
Yeah.
Woo! How about that? At least this time he remembered him. You know, if you could cultivate thankfulness a little bit, those other things can go away.
True.
God calls Joseph out of prison. And Pharaoh gives him a wife. And she bears him two boys, Manasseh and Ephraim. And their names mean forgetfulness and fruitfulness.
Yeah.
God said, if you'll cultivate thankfulness, I can heal you up, man. I can do for you what no amount of psychology can do, and I can do it free with a Bible and go to church. Amen. And I would say to you the kindness of timely remembrance. You know, it is better late than never. It is. Now, I know some people live by it. Do you know that one time I was walking through a place that had cards, and I looked up and there was a whole section that said belated. And I was like, you know what? That's a culture of people, amen. They are smart enough to realize that a lot of times people remember the day after. My dad would have probably purchased, if it was today, he would have purchased a spot on Amazon Prime to where they would just on certain days ship him belated cards because it was always that way. And so when it was on time, I knew my mother. You say, did that offend you? Of course not. He's a guy. I'm doing good if he remembered that she reminded him. Okay? And I'm saying to you, remember that it is better late than never sometimes. Example, today'd be a great day to tell the Lord how thankful you are for something, even if you've been neglecting it for a while. I think young people, it'd be a great day to thank God that you had a Christian home and get your eyes off of the things you didn't like and the faults and say, God, thank you so much. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I'm still very thankful for my mother. And I wasn't reared up, I was drug up. And I'm still thankful. And I still can see the tears in her eyes after she got saved. And if we would testify at all about how life was when we grew up, it would just break her heart. Because if she could do it, she would have gone back and changed all of history. And I'd say, Mother, I'm thankful. I'm thankful. I am totally thankful for you. And after I was 31 years old, I didn't get a chance to tell her anymore. But I'm still thankful. Yeah. And I would say to you, the kindness of remembering. This is a good day for it. This is a day of remembrance. But let's look at the positive side of it, the thankfulness side. And maybe today stop later on today and say, God, I'm so thankful for this and that. And maybe find something in your past of His timing.
Yeah.
We're meeting here today, folks, because of God's timing.
True.
I mean that. Lord put it in preacher's heart, Slimmy's heart, and they went ahead and they just totally by faith said, we're going to do this. And in His timing, He started other people's lives moving and coming together and all these things that God does.
Yeah.
There's been times because of God's timing that you're not in the hospital today. He diverted you here, diverted you there, slowed you down here, slowed you down there.
Man.
Amen?
True.
Yeah. Oh, I guarantee you get to heaven, the Lord's going to say, man, I had my timing in that day. You're like, Lord, that was the worst day I ever had. He said, no, that was the safest day you ever had.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
Amen.
Yeah.
And I would just say to you, what a great thing to see in Joseph's life, God's timing. Remember this. And it came to pass.
Man.
And it will come to pass. Let's just pray before we get ready for church. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you for the record of these things, the inspired record. We thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit in them. And we thank you for bearing truth to it and encouraging us. I pray for every saint here, Lord, every person. You'd help them to realize that you're going to bring it to pass. That your name will not be shamed, that you are going to win in the end, that we're going to heaven, that we're going to be on all the side, Father, that is right and victorious throughout eternity. So in this life, help us to patiently, obediently, and actively pursue you while you bring it to pass. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're dismissed.